Tang's plate.
Time to head to the market and pick out some produce. We are back on the radio once again with chef, cookbook author, owner of Bumpling's Restaurant, Brendan Payne. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is nice to have you, I want to say back on breakfast, but like back in the country, because you have once again been away.
I did quite a big stint just then. I went to Japan, Taiwan, and also Melbourne. So I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
I've eaten a lot of nice food, so I'm excited to talk about it.
I bet you have. Before we do, though, Melbourne recently for the Food and Wine Show. How was it?
Yes, I went over to Melbourne, cooked with some plant-based product from Australia called V2, and yeah, it was great. Like, it's so busy. It's just nice to be back in the country. Have
sure.
a lot of like people that foodies, especially in Melbourne, come around and be inspired by what I do, which is quite nice.
Yeah, they like to consider themselves the food capital of the country, and that's fine. But a lot of people here are still eager and keen cooks. So we'll talk about this week's topic in a moment. But first, Brendan, what is the best thing you ate this week?
The best thing I ate, probably not this week, but it's kind of like stuck with me for a little while now, was I had this oyster omelette in Taiwan.
Oh.
Which I was like putting off for a little while. Not that I love oysters, but mm-hmm. I'm a bit iffy when it comes to cooked, because I'm like, I just love fresh oysters. But
yeah.
I had this, so they stir fry the oysters, then they make an omelette out of it as well. And add some fresh like herbs to it. So mine had basil, but there's often like spinach or spring onion, and then it's with a sweet and sour sauce.
Yum.
Sounds a bit like different, but...
Yeah, it's the warm oyster that is like a mental
yeah,
block.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was so tasty. Like, I just can't stop thinking about it.
Is there oyster sauce in? And like, would that be wrong?
I don't think so, no. I think they make like a sweet and sour sauce.
Okay.
I was looking up the recipe.
Yeah.
It's, I want to try and make it, yeah.
Best thing that I ate, we've talked about mortadella more times than I can count on this show. before the weather has started to totally take a downward turn, I've been eating like mortadella and cheese sandwiches in my backyard.
Oh, they're so good.
There's something so good about it. I was talking to somebody about mortadella and the way that it's made, and like, you know, it's just all the bits and pieces, like nice big white chunks of fat in each slice. I love pistachios in mine, which is really hard to find
me too.
Here.
Yep.
But when you can find it, stock up. It lasts forever in the
fridge. Yeah. More importantly, what bread do you have it with?
Well, this is another thing, right? So it's whatever's around. I've had multi-grain rolls. I've had white bread.
I've had
crusty Italian bread.
Yeah.
I'm an equal bread opportunist.
Nice,
I'll eat everything.
I feel like every time I have that, or it's like a childhood kind of thing, like a bit of that old nostalgic, like polony or mortadella with the cheese and maybe a bit of ketchup.
Yeah, maybe a lot of butter as well.
A lot of butter, yeah.
We're talking this week about seasonal produce. Winter is just around the corner officially. When we talk about seasonal produce and cooking within the season, Brendan, what kind of things or what kind of ingredients count as winter vegetables or
yes, yeah. Like so for me, when I think of winter in Perth or in Western Australia, there's apples, avocados, a lot of the stone kind of fruit, a lot of things from the ground like roots, so turnips, swedes, potatoes, radishes, all that kind of stuff, parsnips, beetroots, broccoli. Yeah, there's so much that you can do with all
yeah.
of that.
It's good because I feel like winter is a good time when people get really into cooking, because we want to stay warm and we want nice and toasty things in our bellies. And a lot of those vegetables lend themselves to being able to be cooked.
Absolutely,
like that.
Yeah.
We talk about root veggies like carrots and parsnips and beetroot. How are you, like, what's your preference to preparing them?
Yes, for me in winter, I always just think of something that's like quite warming, has a lot of body to it. Often a lot of the cooking that I do in winter is quite low and slow, so it might be braising or like a soup or a curry. But for me, a lot of the vegetables that we do get a lot of in winter, like carrots and potatoes, they take on so much flavor, which I love. So I love a curry. Like
okay.
you can't go past a curry. And for me, like my background is Chinese Mauritian. However, I was in Japan recently and I came back and I've been a bit obsessed with katsu curry. So I've been making that a lot.
So for folks who don't know, a katsu curry, what are like the elements of that? What goes into it?
Yes, it kind of defeats the purpose, or like when you think of a traditional Southeast Asian curry, it's a breaded or crumbed schnitzel. So either chicken or pork, And then there's a curry sauce, as opposed to like having something that cooks for a really long time. For me, this is a great one because it just is so quick and easy to make. Yeah.
And there's like it's got like a thick consistency.
Yes,
right?
Yeah. I know someone was asking me the other day, and I was like, if you think about it, the sauce is more of like bechamel or like a French style kind of sauce. So the hero really is the schnitzel.
Yeah.
And then you have this nice thick kind of not too spicy. It's like a sweet punchy. Curry sauce, almost bechamel like consistency, and then there's potatoes and carrots in there as well.
Yeah, the good thing about this as well is if you are time poor or if you are getting home and it feels like the middle of the night because it's so dark, you can buy like those pre-made curry blocks for Japanese style
yes,
curry as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Which I would say most Japanese people would use as well.
Yeah, yep. I think so. I think that they're great. And if you haven't tried it yet, don't be put off. It's not difficult. There's instructions on the packet. For me, one of the things that I love and one of the winter vegetables that I love is kale.
Yes, me too.
Which there are lots of ways to do kale all across the year. Like you massage it and you put it in a salad. I put mine in Toscana soup.
Oh, yum.
Have you had Toscana
soup? Yes, I have. Yeah.
So if you don't know, it's an Italian sort of, it is a soup. It's not a soup. It's like thinly sliced potatoes, like really thin mandolin sliced potatoes. Yeah. There's bacon and sausage and creamy broth. And then one of the big things that I love is like a lot of kale because it breaks down so well. And it feels like you're eating something kind of healthy, even though there's like definitely cream and potato all throughout that.
Do you know what the good thing about kale is too? And a lot of the foods that we make in winter, they store quite well, or you can freeze them. And kale especially, like when you think of things like spinach or like fresh greens and leafy vegetables, they don't keep too well in the freezer, but something like kale really does. So
is that because it's tough?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just so hardy, and my experience is that you can freeze that quite well.
And not to derail this conversation and make it all about kale, but why do people tell us to massage kale, Brendan?
I'm not sure if I'm right here, but I know it's quite a woody and quite a hardy kind of leafy green. It's not something that will just break down like spinach quite easily.
Yeah.
So sometimes if you're adding it to something like a salad, it does require a little bit of massaging just to kind of break it down a little bit. Yeah.
Whenever somebody says massaging the kale, I just like have like very intimate, it's like a very intimate moment with your vegetables. We've got Brendan Pang with us this morning. It is Pang's Plate, back again this week talking about some of those winter seasonal produce, those things that we're going to be cooking and seeing a lot in the supermarket the next few months. Root vegetables, apples, avocados. The Hass avocado is back on shelves, thank goodness. I don't know if you're a shepherd or a Hass kind of person, but I'm very excited to see them back. What about if people just want to roast vegetables? What are your tips there on how to nail that?
Yes, roasting veggies. Don't overcrowd your baking dish, because for me, texture is like the biggest thing, and I hate when veggies just become like all mushy. So spread them out quite nicely, but honestly, have fun with it. Like season it with whatever, a good olive oil, maybe some garlic or onion as well. Add that through there, and then any spices you have in the pantry.
Yum.
Yeah.
All right. And is that a low and slow, or how do we, like, what's the way to do that?
For me, it's usually a higher heat, and because you want to get a nice crispy kind of outside and then let the inside cook through.
All right, let us know what you'll be cooking this winter. What are the ingredients, the pieces of produce that you're most looking forward to using? 0405 921 921. Brendan Pang is back on your radio again next Monday. Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you. Glad to be back.